Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Al Horford, 2-for-2, and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
It was what we said it would be and what it was supposed to be tonight with the Celtics playing as well as they have all year. The Hawks stumbled into the wrong gym on the wrong night. The clock hits triple zeros, and the Celtics win their eighth consecutive game, and it was not even an issue. Celtics win at 129-108.
Well, we're not perfect, but we're really trying to play well together, and I think that's the most important thing. I thought we overshared a couple of possessions today, and then we went through a brief stretch in the second quarter that was bad. But other than that, you know, I thought our guys had good intentions and played well.
We're really playing together, and I think we're connected on both ends. I think especially when we are communicating defensively, you know, then we don't have to walk the ball up the court. You know, we can get some easy stuff in transition that makes us even better. So we got to continue to be connected like this on both ends.
I feel like we're in a good place, and we're definitely not satisfied at all. We don't want to be, you know, conform at all, you know, we want to be mediocre at all. So I think that keep pushing the needle every single game of showing why we want to be the best team.
All right, welcome into the Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you. If you want to join us, 617-779-0985. Also get some other resident hoop heads in with us today, including Brian Robb, covers the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal, Sean Silver, who's alongside as well. So the Celtics doing what they should be doing. They've now won eight straight against lesser competition. Atlanta Hawks in last night, 129-108 the final. Gordon Hayward returns from illness for a couple of games, looked pretty decent. Some of the main takeaways that you've had since we last did this show with this team, Chris, I said, you know, they should be on a roll, a 10-game winning streak by the time that they welcome in Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks next Friday. I think that's the 21st.
It is the 21st, yes.
At the Garden, and you're like, oh, well, you never know. And look, they almost got tripped up the other night against the Washington Wizards, but they pulled it out in overtime. And Kyrie Irving basically, you know, shooting threes from Richmond, Virginia at the end of that game in overtime. But they look like they've solved a lot of their earlier issues. Maybe some of this has to do with the fact that some guys have been out either due to injury or illness. I don't know if they're 100% solved and, you know, this is everything figured out, because we're still seeing Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart start in these games, and I think that should continue to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, it's not. But certainly looks a hell of a lot better than it did the first month and a half of the season.
Oh, absolutely. When you look, I mean, they're in a great groove right now. I mean, the 8-game winning streak is tied for the longest winning streak in the league this year. They're averaging more than 125 points a game during this winning streak. You know, their net rating now is up there. It's like second in the league. They're second in the league in net rating overall. They're starting to put it together. The one thing that's just sort of irritated me and has nothing to do with the team is they put it together because they made changes. And I feel like now there's sort of a segment of Celtics fan and media that want to sort of tell you, well, it was fine all along. It was always going to be fine.
Mm.
And I always thought they'd figure it out. But part of figuring it out was putting Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart in the lineup. And I think you sort of discredit those guys and their contributions and what they've meant to the continuity and chemistry that the Celtics have discovered when you just sort of pass it off as like, well, you know, they were going to be fine the whole time. And, you know, it was just all sort of sports talk radio madness. No, they had a legitimate issue with the lack of chemistry with that starting unit. They switched it up. Now they have chemistry. Now they're playing great. And oh, by the way, you have Gordon Hayward back, because coming off the bench, for whatever reason, he's been better and he's been more comfortable. I mean, he was fantastic last night. And I thought
19 points in 17 minutes.
I thought it was really interesting that even with all the injuries that they've had in the last couple of games, that Brad Stevens made it a point to still have Jaylen Brown, you know, when he was playing, come off the bench. Like, I think they're going to roll with this for a little while, and I think it's the right move. I know it's not necessarily the role that we all envision for each of these guys, but it's what works for this collection of talent. And I don't see how you could think otherwise at this point. So, you know what, we might get into February or March, Jim, and they go back to that starting lineup you know, starting, because I still think you're going to see that lineup finish games, but they go back to starting the games. But I don't think there's anything wrong with rolling with what's working right now. And I mean, in the last three games, Marcus Morris is shooting like 60% from the field.
6 of 8 from three-point land last night. And he's been, no matter what, like, even if you want to, you know, say anything hyperbolic about Marcus Morris in the week that he's had, because, you know, I tweeted after the Wizards win, like, Marcus Morris, all-star? Because he really is. Looked
yeah,
like
he's been great.
Not even borderline. He's been an all-star over the last couple of weeks. But in more than anything else, if you've been paying attention to this team, he's been the Celtics' most consistent player since the beginning of the season. Even during the lull and when it looked kind of ugly and they're at 500 and they're losing a terrible game before Thanksgiving to the New York Knicks, Morris has been the one consistent player on this team. It's a shame it's probably going to be his last year in Boston. That's a conversation for another time. But he's been great. Like, you've got to leave him in that starting five for now.
I mean, I think so. I mean, look, eventually I think one of the Marcuses probably comes out and Hayward goes back in, probably, although it could be Jaylen Brown, you know, because Hayward, just because Hayward has looked so comfortable coming off the bench. And I think even though Jaylen Brown did not start the year great defensively, he's a better defender than Gordon Hayward at this point. And I think that was one of the issues with that first unit. They were letting other teams get off because they were suspect defensively. You had guys like TJ Warren just backing down Gordon Hayward. You had opposing point guards like Jamal Murray just going at Kyrie and getting off, and that was an issue. But I think eventually, you know, again, February, March, they'll switch it up. But when you look at what's going on right now, it's absolutely working for them, and it's working in a big way. And so I wouldn't change it. You know, the only question is, we know it works, right? The question is, just how well does it work? Because based on the schedule, it's a little bit difficult to gauge. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. They're blowing out teams that they are better than. But what happens when they play Milwaukee in Philadelphia, you know, those games, then I think you get a gauge of just how far they've come and just how well this new rotation works for them.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, like, I don't want to poo-poo what they've
done. Yeah, you don't want to discount what they've done.
Because they're doing, but it's just,
I mean, they're a crushing team.
They're doing what they should be doing to inferior competition. This is what I expected to be the beginning of the year when, you know, they're going up against the likes of the Knicks in Orlando at home and losing those games just because, you know, they hadn't figured out the rotations and maybe there's some bitching going on behind the scenes. It just didn't look right. And, you know, Brad Stevens, even before the preseason, he was talking about, like, you know, we're not as good as we think that we are. Now it's looking like they are, but let's just see them do this against competition like Giannis next week when they have the 76ers on Christmas Day. Like, that's where we're really going to see what this team is made of going forward. What have you made of the first week, really, of that we've got to see of Time Lord Robert Williams?
I know he doesn't like the nickname. I love it. Sounds like an X-Men character. I think it's one of the greatest nicknames in the history of sports. I would take that in a second. Time Lord.
Credit Tom Giles, NBC Sports Boston, too, with clock blocks. I can't get enough of that.
That's so good. Yeah, he's carving out a role for himself as a defender. I mean, what he can give you defensively, you know, look, I know Anthony Davis dropped 40 on them, but it was eye-opening watching Robert Williams block some of his shots. And then, you know, last night, he's only on the court for, you know, 16 minutes in the game and blocks 5 shots. He has a unique skill and a unique talent to do that. I think that's one of the reasons people thought he was going to be a lottery pick until he dropped to the Celtics. You know, obviously his off-court issues. It's hard because you have Horford. I know they like what Baines gives them, but in today's, and Tice has been great too, and he was great again last night. But in today's NBA, to have a rim protector athlete like that and a guy who can jump out on some of those pick and rolls, I like that more than I like Baines. You know, someone's going to have to lose time if Williams is going to play more consistently. And my vote at this point would be Baines, not really through any fault of his own, but just Baines is, and he's an excellent team defender, help defender, but in today's NBA, give me the guy that's more athletic.
All right, 8 in a row now for the Celtics. They're back in action tonight against the Detroit Pistons. We'll touch on that game later. I do want to look a little bit closer at Marcus Morris and how he's been playing, not just this whole season, but really this week, too. He's been phenomenal. And I promise we'll get right to your calls. Got a couple of open lines. You want to talk Celtics with us here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show, 617-779-0985. Back after this.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on the home of the Seas, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We got it.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Morris up fakes, shakes off Collins, steps back behind the line and hits a three. Ooh, matching a career high, his 6th three of the night. It is almost impossible to run through the reasons Marcus Morris has been so good this year.
He's been playing well these last couple games. So, you know, just coming out with some pace and some attitude and, you know, just setting the tempo, and I think that's really been helping us. And it's, you know, it's fun out there, and I think, you know, you can tell from the outside looking in that guys are, you know, buying into what's going on, and, you know, we're just trying to win games, man.
A humble Marcus Morris Sr., just trying to win games, man. But he's been the most consistent player on this team this whole season. And this week that he's had has been ridiculous. Marcus Morris, all-star, question mark? Sports Hub Celtic Show, Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you, 617-779-0985. So he's up to close to 44% shooting from three this season. Over his last three games, averaging 26 points on close to 60% shooting, 12 of 20 from three-point land. He's been ridiculous, and I've loved his game this whole year. He's been sensational, and he looks like a completely different player, because last year, he would frustrate the hell out of me. He was like a black hole. Ball in his hands, clang. Ball in his hands, clang. He's going to take that shot. Jesus. But he's taken better shots. Can't miss an open three this whole season. And he's also snagged a lot of rebounds, making some nice passes, tipping and missed shots, making hustle plays. Marcus Morris has been, again, the most consistent player on this team this whole season. I don't think that that's hyperbole to say.
No, I think that's fair to say, and I think he's a good fit with that starting unit. He can stretch the floor. You mentioned how well he shot the three. He gives him a little more rebounding, although it's interesting now, like Tatum is up to being the leading rebounder on the team. I think he's there with Horford. For a while, it was Marcus Morris, though. I just think he's a more natural fit at the four for them when they were going smaller with Tatum. I still think at this point in his career that, look, Tatum can play small ball four in stretches, but I still don't think it's ideal for him. And when I look at that starting five, it's just, I think the roles get more clearly defined. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence, and I'm not taking anything away from Marcus Morris. I agree with everything you said. I think he's been great. But it's not a coincidence that he's shooting so well and playing so well with that starting unit, because when you put him out there with those guys, he's going to get opportunities, and he can help space the floor. And he's harder to defend. Everybody's harder to defend. So it's just a better fit at this point. I think his shooting has really helped turn the Celtics around offensively and what they've been able to do there. Because that was the strangest thing to me, Jim, about the start to the season, was that with all this offensive talent, what their offensive rating was and how much they were struggling offensively from game to game.
Yeah, the role that he is in and who he's playing with in that starting five certainly factors in. But I also wonder, well, in fact, let's bring in Brian Robb, covers his team for Boston Sports Journal. He's with us today and was there last night covering the Seas. How much of this, in the way that Morris has played this year, B-Rob, you think has to do with the fact that he's in a contract year?
I think a little bit. But honestly, I just think it's his second year in the system right now. And just knowing, you know, he's played with these guys, he knows that where his spots are. And I think the team went to him before the year and were like, hey, like, we know you can create your own shot, but what we need for you is just to be a spot-up guy for this team. So you've kind of, like Chris talked about, the junk, you know, and you, Jim, the junk just, like, pull-up long twos are gone pretty much. It's all threes or get into the rim or, like, post-ups. And that's honestly, like you said, like, I don't think it's a stretch for an all-star. If he keeps this up for another month, you look around the Eastern Conference, like, there's 10 clear-cut all-stars. But then after that, it's kind of a free-for-all. So if he keeps this up, he might be in that discussion.
What else has stood out to you with this team since we last spoke last week?
I mean, like you said, the schedule has been super easy, but the beatdowns they're giving these teams right now is just absurd. Like, I think I saw a stat last night, like, this eight-game stretch, this eight-game winning streak is the biggest margin of victories over those eight games in, like, team history. So you're doing things like that against, you know, inferior competition, but to beating teams, you know, seven of these eight wins have come by nine or more points, that sends a message. And so I look at all that right now. They're doing it without Al Horford. You know, Jaylen Brown's been out for half these games. So the fact that they're at this level and there's still much more potential they could reach, I think that's pretty encouraging if you're Brad Stevens.
Danny Ainge was on with Tutcher and Rich making his usual appearance this week, and he seemed to downplay the Al Horford thing, said it's just more about rest with this tendonitis he's dealing with at his knee. Do you take him at his word on that, or is there a serious issue going on here with him?
I feel like it's just a situation where you're risking nothing right now by resting him. And he's 32 years old, and you have Robert Williams. You have too many centers as it is. So if you can take the opportunity not just to rest Horford, but you also find out what else you have in Robert Williams right now and more of Daniel Tice, like, that's big for this team because, I mean, seeing what Robert Williams can do right now might not change your long-term plans, but it also gives you an extra idea of, like, okay, this is, you know, this guy's under contract for the next 4 years. Like, it's nice to know what we have with him now than, like, you know, have to judge him off of like main Red Claws highlights. So
and now the rest of the league gets to see him too, B-Rob, and maybe that bumps up his value if you have to make a deal.
Absolutely, because you see, I mean, the Celtics have had some trade assets, you know, take a hit. The Kings pick, obviously, the Grizzlies are better than expected, but you know, Jaylen Brown's had a rough year, but you know, Robert Williams, that stock is sky high right now, and that could come in handy. You know, they won't move him obviously during this season, but in the offseason, if they want to make a real big deal, obviously, you know, he might be a name in play there.
Well, the people are certainly pumped about Robert Williams. He got a good pop on Monday night, you know, getting blocks in on Anthony Davis and getting a good pop online, too, from Weird Celtics Twitter with the Time Lord stuff and even Timex. Sean Silver, what did you say? Timex actually tweeted at him, the actual company?
Yeah. I saw somebody retweeted it last night, but Timex said something about, we've been inspired by you, you know, at Robert Williams, you know, //. Looking like they want to get in on some branding there. So we'll see. He says he doesn't like it. Danny Ainge on the record saying we can do better than the nickname Time Lord. You know, I could see why there might be concerns from the man involved with the nickname about being called Time Lord, particularly with what it's in reference to. But it's fun. We're having fun with it. If you can get some endorsement bucks out of it as a rookie, not bad.
I like the subplot of this, that Robert Williams doesn't like it, Danny Ainge doesn't like it. It's like Costanza in Seinfeld when he wanted to be known as T-Bone.
T-Bone. T-Bone. His own nickname.
No. You're Coco the Gorilla, whatever the hell.
No, it's true. I don't know. I mean, I just think it's a good sign. Like, you know, you take a guy that late in the draft, we're debating what his nickname should be. Like, I don't ever remember debating what Juwan Johnson's nickname should be or J.R. Giddens. Danny should just be happy that, like, this guy can play.
Max in the truck on Robert Williams. Go ahead. You're next here on the Sports Up Celtics show.
Hey, what's up, Murray? What's up, Gasper?
Hey.
So Robert Williams, I mean, this guy is incredible. I was watching the game last night, and he can just get up there and elevate and block shots like you wouldn't believe. I like how Brad Stevens has given him some minutes. I think it's going to be really good with Al Horford out. And I'd like to see him play more minutes than Aaron Baines. Thanks for taking my call. Merry Christmas and go Pats tomorrow.
You as well, Max.
I'll be interested tonight because tonight's an interesting game against
you got real bigs you're going
the
up
Pistons.
Against it tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Andre Drummond leads the league in rebounding. You know, Blake Griffin has the ability, obviously, to step out, but he's still a big. I'll be interested to see how much they use Robert Williams tonight, because tonight I think would be an interesting litmus test of against the type of opponent with more athletic bigs. Does he give you an option that maybe you don't necessarily have behind Al, where he's big enough to be able to bang with those guys, but athletic enough to be able to jump and hang with them? I will be intrigued to see if Brad just sort of rolls him out there. Let's see what happens against Drummond. Let's see what happens against Blake Griffin.
Ian and Newton on Robert Williams. You're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I completely agree with the previous caller and Gasper that Robert Williams should be taking time away from Aaron Baines. He's just a shot-blocking machine. He's 100% more athletic. And I'm really sick of seeing Aaron Baines pull up from three. Like, it's getting really annoying. Also wanted to get your thoughts on the Western Conference. Golden State doesn't really seem like they're a superior team as they have been in the past. I know it's early, but could we see a Celtics-Lakers finals this year at all, do you think?
I think so. The Lakers don't have enough depth. I mean, Kuzma's good, but that team feels like it's LeBron and it's Kuzma. And I don't know, B-Rob can correct me. Maybe I'm leaving somebody out there. I don't think Lonzo Ball's been bad, but he's not really an impact player. When I look at that team, it's pretty much it's LeBron's going to be LeBron. I think Kuzma's been really good. He's a steal at the end of the first round last year for the Lakers. But there's too many other good teams in the West, too. Like, I would put somebody like Denver ahead of the Lakers.
Yeah, they're a big trade away.
Yeah, and I do think that the Warriors can be had this year. It just feels like with their infighting and that whole Draymond and Kevin Durant thing, that I don't know. I don't think that the whole thing's been squashed. You heard about bitchiness behind the scenes in that locker room from last year. It's a tough go for them this year to repeat again.
Their bench is thin. You know, when it's not Iguodala and Livingston and your old friend Jonas Jerebko is there, but some of those younger players, I actually, like, you know, basketball nerd that I am, my poor wife, we went on a trip, you know, in March, and we were in Santa Cruz, California in the winter, and I had kind of messed up not realizing that's like a beachy town. And I was like, well, we could go to a G League game. So we went to a G League game. We saw Quinn Cook play, and he played great. And he's played great for them. But, I mean, their bench is not great. I mean, you know, it's Iguodala. It's it's Livingston, and then, you know, Cook's been nice for them, but there's not a lot of stuff there for them with that bench. So that's something to keep an eye on with the Warriors. What's the wear and tear level on their primary players, their core players, by the time they get to the playoffs? Because the bench is not what it was in the past.
Let's talk about Kyrie Irving's leadership qualities, or maybe even lack thereof. How much of a leader has he become on this Celtics team? We're going to touch on that coming up right after the Sports Hub headlines with Sean Silver. It's a Sports Hub Celtics show. You want to join us, 617-779-0988.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
5 on the shot clock. Kyrie rises, tough three.
Oh, got it! Oh, a dagger of a three by Kyrie Irving with John Wall in his face.
Get off my damn toe, man.
Celtics by two. 32 seconds to go. Wall drives past bars, gets to the cup easily, and scores again. 34 for John Wall. 33 for Kyrie. Tie game with 21 seconds to go in the overtime. Kyrie Irving out near half court. Pull up. Crazy deep.
Oh, and he got it.
Kyrie. I'm having a heart attack out here.
You know, I can't help but read these Kyrie quotes, and I wasn't there for these interviews, and it echoes stuff that he said before, but he just can't stop talking about how he's won a championship and knows what it feels like to make a big shot in the finals. And look, he made one of the five biggest shots in the history of basketball. He can talk all he wants. I just wonder, like, sometimes you just, like, are the other Celtics players going to get tired of hearing about this? I don't even mean to make it an issue. It's just every time I read a Kyrie interview, it feels like he's talking about what they did in Cleveland. And if I could see the wrong person on the Celtics, whoever that is, in their head being like, man, I don't want to read about this anymore. Like, we all know we got to game seven last year. Like, it's not like we did nothing. Like, maybe I'm reading too much into it.
No. That's Zach Lowe and Jackie McMullen on Zach Lowe's podcast earlier this week talking about Kyrie Irving and how he's still trying to figure out how to be a leader. And it felt like Zach Lowe was kind of dancing around it. It's the Sports Hub Celtic Show, 98.5, a Sports Hub, that he just wanted to say, sometimes he just sounds insufferable, because he does. When Steve Bulpet, Boston Herald, wrote about this thing too, like how Kyrie's trying to grow to be a leader, and it's just sometimes it's like, dude, too many words. Like, you're talking too much. Like, I get it, and I think he wants to be a leader, I think.
He does. Yeah,
but it does feel like there is some level of uncomfortability with it, and that he just doesn't want to be, you know, insufferable like LeBron. But with the way he sounds sometimes, I don't think he can help himself. So it's this odd little juxtaposition going on with him in terms of the leadership role, it feels like.
Yeah, I agree. And I think he's still trying to figure out how to be a leader. What's interesting is that, you know, one of the primary reasons we've been led to believe he left Cleveland, because we've never really gotten the straight story, was that he wanted to be out of LeBron's shadow, but he wanted his own team. And that's the way Cleveland was set up before they brought LeBron back. And when Kyrie signed the extension, you know, he thought he was going to be the leader. So he wants his own team. But I also think, you know, his idea of leadership is something that he's still formulating. You know, we talk about this all the time. I mean, Kyrie is a cerebral guy. He's a different guy. He's an iconoclast. He's not a sort of, you know, he, like, even one of the things we played, one of the rejoins I think we played here, he said, you know, we don't want to conform. And he said, excuse me, be mediocre. That tells you, that's a Freudian slip. And in Kyrie's mind, yeah, conformity is mediocrity. So it's like he's still trying to figure. But here's the thing. When you talk about conforming or lowest common denominator, all that stuff exists because it's the easiest way to relate to other human beings, which is a big part of being a leader. And I think that's what he needs to sort of work on. It's like, how do you relate to all these guys when you're a different thinker, you know, with the all-seeing eye on your shoe, you know?
And when you hear what Zach Lowe was saying, do you think that maybe some of the younger guys like a Tatum Brown, maybe even...
I could see Jaylen Brown being like...
rolling his eyes.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm just guessing. I mean, I don't know what their relationship is. But, I mean, Jaylen Brown went to Cal. He's a very smart guy as well as Kyrie is. And I could see some of the stuff Kyrie says, you know, Jaylen Brown kind of being like, that's not true or no, you know? So... I mean, it's interesting, but this Bulpet story was interesting in it because I thought Kyrie was very open and honest about the fact that he's still trying to figure out how to be a leader and what his leadership style is going to be.
In terms of his on-the-court play, you know, his game as of late, like, he was phenomenal in that OT against the Wizards the other night. I mean, that's where it looks like, you know, you don't have to question anything going on with his health right now and that knee.
Yeah.
He's hitting shots from Richmond, Virginia, basically.
Yep. Daggers.
Yeah.
Love it.
And that's where you see, like, he is...
It's laughable to me that you had a certain segment of Celtics fans towards the end of last year saying, like, well, I would package him to try to get Anthony Davis because we're all set because we have Terry Rozier. Like, you idiots. You see a game like that shots like that. Are you nuts?
Yeah.
Like, when he's on like that, he's one of the five best players in the league.
I mean, he just offensively elevates it to a whole nother. I mean, how do you defend those shots he hit against Washington?
You can't.
It's impossible. I mean, impossible shots.
So he's been great as of late. It's just, the leadership thing. It just feels like I said, there's some sort of, I don't know, he goes back and forth. Like, do I want this? Do I want to be this? But I want to try. How can I reach these kids?
You know, he's like an individualist, right? I mean, we know this about him. And this guy's a free thinker. He's an How do you be a leader as an individualist when, as a leader, you have to be able to basically find common ground with these other people, right? And they might not think the way you think or be into the things that you're into or whatever, and you still have to find sort of like common ground with them. That's part of being a leader. And I thought it was interesting in this story, there's a quote from Al Horford. You know, Bullpet asked him, has he noticed a difference in Irving this season? And Horford, who I think is a good leader, it is liked by the young guys on that team and is looked up to. And I'm not saying Kyrie's not, but I know Horford definitely is. And Horford says, yes, yes, yes. He's really been there for us. He's really taking guys under his wing. Very vocal, encouraging when he needs to be. He's really embracing that role. So you sort of get to it. He also says later on, he says, you know, last year he was getting to know what we were about. And yeah, he wasn't as engaged as he is now.
Well, one good case in point in that, he has, you know, taken this role and working with the younger guys is there was the story from Adam Himmelsbach, who you worked with at the Globe last week about I think it was the Thursday game heading into it, that it was going to be Marcus Smart's mother's birthday.
Yes.
She has passed. Yeah. And it was heartbreaking to read, and like how he would used to go into the locker room at halftime and check his phone. There'd be some texts from his mom, sometimes busting his balls a little bit, being like, you know, you shouldn't have done this. You're acting too much of a hothead. But Adam did write that Kyrie Irving, Marcus mentioned to him that, you know, Kyrie Irving has reached out, who's recently lost his grandfather, and his mother passed when he was young, and how to deal with this situation. So reading that, it's like, okay, all right, like that type of leadership role, like that kind of stuff, like that can have a lasting impact. I just hope he's not like trying to get people to be vegetarians. It's those type of people that you would just want to be like, all right, enough, shut up. Like, I like to eat meat, dude. I like a hamburger occasionally. Will you stop with this? Tofu's not going to replace beef for me.
There's another interesting quote in there in the story where Bullpet asks, you know, Kyrie Irving about the fact that as the best and most accomplished player on a team, you're just expected to be the leader. But there are some star players who aren't built for that. And Kyrie says, see it all the time. You see it all the time. I think it's a little unfair to have that responsibility. But the ones that are meant for it are willing to accept it and figure out how they learn best of leading a group and not just being the best player. And I think that sort of speaks to maybe the fact that he's conflicted here. You know, sure. I think he wants the responsibility, but he also kind of just wants to be Kyrie. And it's like, well, why isn't me just being the best player and being Kyrie enough? I think he's figured out that it's not, and that's part of the leadership, you know, cycle there. Part of figuring out is figuring out that just being you and being a great player isn't enough. There's some other things you have to do. But I still sort of question, to be honest with you, if he's like cut out to be the leader. And oh, by the way, this is the same guy earlier in the year who said when they were struggling, we need a 14 or 15 year veteran.
Yeah. Yeah, so there is some sort of odd little conundrum going on.
Something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Dean in Shrewsbury, been hanging a bit. Appreciate that. You're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hi, Dean.
Hi. Two things real quick. I think we're taking our winning streak past Milwaukee and the 76ers. And about Robin Williams, it's of course great to see the athleticism, but he sort of block hunts and comes off as man. Also, he was having real trouble switching on to Wall, which is not surprising.
Yeah, so that matchup the other night, and thanks for the call, Dean, I found a little bit interesting considering how well that Marcus Smart was playing, and he had locked up Beal. You know, you saw Wall keep going off, and it was layup after layup
and
forth, and Williams is on him. It's like, okay, we're going to switch here or maybe put someone else on him, but no. Look, he's a rookie. He's going to take some lumps here. But defensively, overall, I think he's looked good.
He is right about the block hunting, but you can tame that. You know, that's something you look at film review and you say, okay, you know, you have to have a little better discretion when you want to do this, when you don't want to do this. Don't make sure you're not leaving us susceptible to a putback. But overall, his athleticism and what he can do and just, you know, it's not just the blocks, Jim. How many shots does he alter because the other team's worried about the block? There's a psychological factor there, too, that I like with him.
Yeah, so now we have clock blocks and block hunting. Just be careful and make sure you're putting in the right terms when you're trying to Google that, because all of a sudden you could end up down a weird rabbit hole you weren't expecting.
Sounds like one you've gone down and had to delete that cache, huh?
Where are all these photos and videos from men's gymnasiums from 1970s New York? What has happened here? Oh, I was looking for Celtic stuff. What has happened? Dan in Plymouth, go ahead. You're next here on the Sports Hub Celtic Show. Hello.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I just wanted to say first and foremost, I love listening to you guys talk every Saturday about Celtics. It's like an oversaturation and everything else when it's football season.
Thanks.
But you guys do a great job of trying to round it up for the week. So I just want to talk about how I think Williams can take the place of Theis eventually towards the end of the season just because of his – Theis is, I think, the number three worst when it comes to foul trouble. Like, he had fouled out after 18 minutes the other day, you know, and when we need him to come off the bench and do the center, I think that switching him out, you know, and giving Williams a little bit of his time would be a good fit, and I'll hang up and listen to what you guys have to say. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Dan. Well, why don't we defer to Sean Silver, who's in with us today, who's, you know, also always going to Celtics games. You're a big hoop head.
Oh, yeah.
What have you made of the Time Lord so far and this team on this winning streak?
Well, as far as the winning streak goes, I mean, yeah, they've been playing bad teams. I kind of thought, conservatively, they could go 7-3 in this stretch, which was not a given the way that they played in the early part of the season, as you referenced the Knicks game, the Orlando game. This team, even last year, they played down to their competition an awful lot. So, and as Chris mentioned, them blowing out teams is a good sign. And the rotation mix for me has been, I think, the most appealing part of this. They're playing against other teams that just aren't very good, but everyone has benefited from these mixes here, and it really shows in the percentages. I mean, Gordon Hayward, I think, is shooting 60% from three over this 8-game winning streak, which people were all like, well, his shot's not back. Well, now it is, and it's sometimes just about where you're getting the ball, your positioning on the floor, what else is going on around you. Pretty much everybody except Marcus Smart, it is shown in the stats. And as we all know with Marcus Smart, it doesn't really show in the stats.
Oh, I thought he was the biggest story from Wednesday night's game. Great as Kyrie was in the overtime, I thought Marcus Smart overall had the best night.
Oh, huge plays. That rebound and putback?
Absolutely. And I guess for him, you know, if you're looking at stats, he's averaging like 3 steals a game since he's been put in and getting about 29 minutes a night, which is much more than he was getting earlier. It was kind of like, well, what's the mix like here? We got Rozier. He needs his minutes. Obviously, Kyrie's going to get his minutes. But Tatum, we were all talking about him. Is he going to step forward as the number two scorer on this team? And maybe you could say that Marcus Morris has been that number two scorer. But Tatum's at 18-6. He's 53% from the floor on the winning streak, 41% from three. That was something that was down earlier in the season. As we mentioned, Morris getting it. So literally everybody on the floor for the Celtics who's been playing substantial minutes has seen an uptick in their percentages, and they're doing the things that they do best. So Stevens' rotations are maximizing everybody's abilities. That's what we wanted all along here. Now they're 18-10, as was mentioned earlier. You know, there's not. I think B-Rob said there's nothing really lost by resting Horford. They need Horford. You know, some people may disagree with that, but in games like this, to just get his knees right, get him ready for the second half of the season, so he doesn't have a fall off. If you can play Williams and maybe get him used to switching on some screens, that'll be a big thing. I mean, for a guy drafted as low as he was drafted, for us to be this excited collectively about, wow, maybe they have a legitimate big man from the future, it's a pretty promising thing.
I do still love that he kind of hates the nickname, though. You can't choose it once a nickname's given. I'll tell you right now, I don't really like Big Jim, but it was given to me an intern. Not really. It was given to me, but here's what used to happen back in the day.
Was there a small Jim?
No, it's just because of the height.
Yeah.
It was more than anything else. That was it. Yeah, no.
Why is it not Tall Jim or Slim Jim?
I don't know. The guy that gave it to me at the time was the morning show host of WFNX, now defunct WFNX, Neil Robert. He had a penchant for naming all of the interns that came in. I was tall, thus I was dubbed Big Jim. And back in the day in radio, once you got your nickname, that's what stuck. Once I got on air, I was like, what should I come up with? A wacky name? I'll just be Big Jim.
Wow.
And so here it is. It stuck for 20 plus years. That's why.
I thought it had something to do with remote controls.
It's an inside joke. It's a pretty good one, though. Maybe I'll tell it to you someday on the street if you happen to see me out. What's next for the Celtics? Seems like for the third straight week that we've done this show, they got a back-to-back, so we'll tell you what's next for the C's coming up in our long commercial-free segment next here on 98.5 Sports Hub. Top.
Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtic Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're tied at 106. Now Kemba. He's got the ball. All eyes on him. Gonna take
take the last shot. Either we win it or there's overtime.
Lamb's going to have to fire.
Well, this is a tough back-to-back, and it's just continued, as you know. I mean, it's and it's going to be a great challenge. This is a really good team. Get plenty of rest and get ready to roll again tomorrow.
Celtics head coach Brad Stevens talking about the team that's next for the Celtics. That's the Detroit Pistons tonight in Detroit. Correct? It's in Detroit. It's not home.
They're on the road.
Yeah, they're on the road.
Had to fly after last night.
And the call was the Hornets. Jeremy Lamb hitting the game winner to beat the Pistons 108-107. That was their sixth loss in a row. You know, a week ago, we sat here and I said that the Celtics should be on a 10-game winning streak by the time they welcome in the Milwaukee Bucks in the 21st of the Garden. And a certain somebody, Gasper, the friendly host, said, that game next Saturday night against the Pistons could be a toughie, Jim.
I did say that.
Could be, but this team stinks as of late. They weren't going to be 13-7 forever, and this six-game losing streak.
Oh, so you're saying they're the anti-Sacramento Kings, so you think they're going to be good forever. Well, you have them in the finals.
And they're not going to be on this six-game losing streak forever, but it does look like they are devoid of talent in terms of surrounding Blake Griffin with shooters. They have great bigs in Griffin and
Andre Drummond.
Thank you so much. I know, a bit of an antiquated player, but a nice big. Even if they don't have Horford tonight, who's done a good job in the past against Griffin, I like the Celtics in this spot. Again, they should be on a 10-game winning streak by the time that they end up bringing in the Milwaukee Bucks a week from last night. Any concerns about this one tonight?
Yeah, I do have some concerns. Look, it's second night of a back-to-back on the road.
No excuse.
You know, against a Detroit team that I'm sure wants to prove it's a playoff team. Blake Griffin's had a really good year. Reggie Jackson, the local yokel BC factor in terms of playing the Celtics a little bit. I think it could be, and Dwayne Casey, I think, has done a good job there. So when you look at that team, I think they're going to get up for the Celtics, and we'll see how the Celtics respond. And the Celtics, I mean, cruising is not fair to say because that Washington game was an arduous one, but it's not like they've been playing a ton of tight down the stretch games. Not against the caliber of competition. Certainly the Pistons are better than the Wizards this year. I don't know if Scott Brooks still has a job at this point in Washington. So I am still concerned. I think this is a legit game. You win this one, you blow these guys out, that's a feather in your cap.
Well, tip-off is at 7 o'clock. You can catch it here on 98.5 of Sports Up, right? There's no conflict with the Bruins for like the 80th time this season. Every night you look up like, oh, man, even during the week, I know, poor me. Like, oh, you got to watch. But like, it's better if it's all broken up. When they're on the same night, it makes it a little more
difficult.
You just
have to have the two TVs like Felger.
Oh, I'll just
and then you also have the help you pay to turn the channel for you.
Come in and turn the channel.
Channel change, please.
I'll DVR and skim. But either way, the tip-off's here, 7 o'clock. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell will have it here on 98.5 of Sports Up. To your calls, Tom and Newton on the Celtics. You're next here on the Sports Up. Hello, Tom.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I got a rare Celtics take for you. I don't even think I've called in about basketball before. I'm just not a huge basketball guy. But I did want to point out, from my layman's perspective, it seems like Brad Stevens has an issue just managing personalities, which is a problem because the NBA is just all personalities. Like, I forget whether it was this year's draft or last year's draft. There was a guy they brought in, I think it was like him and Ainge, talked about, how great a guy he was. He's a nice guy. Not whether or not he can play. There's been hesitancy in the past, to bring in, troublesome, free agents. And then you look at this year, kind of the tail end of last season, the beginning of this season. Last season, Irving goes down, he's injured. Hayward's down, he's injured. And they're playing the rookies, and they played really well at the end of last season. This season, they come in, everybody's healthy. You got guys fighting over their minutes. And, they weren't very good. It goes without saying. And so now, they've had injuries, so it's kind of out of Brad Stevens' hands. And they're playing better. I mean, how big of a problem is that, if you guys think that is a problem, that he just can't seem to kind of get over that personality hump? Thanks.
I mean, look, he coached Rajon Rondo. He coached Isaiah Thomas. He's coaching Kyrie now. I do think that Brad in the past has been a little bit reluctant to take on some of the more mercurial personalities in the NBA. And I think he wants guys that do it the right way. But, overall, I think that he has adjusted to that. I think he's good at it. I think the adjustment here with this team this year was trying to carve out roles for everybody and getting guys to accept their roles. I don't know if that's a personality thing as much as it's an ego thing, and you're always going to deal with egos in the NBA for any player. So I think there was an adjustment here with Brad in terms of egos and mentality of the team. Normally, his teams in the past, Jim, have been teams that have been counted out. They're, I don't want to say easier to motivate, but they know what people are saying about them, and they have to sort of be scrappy in these junkyard dogs, and no one's giving them a chance, and Brad can feed into that. Was the opposite this year. Everyone's telling them they're the greatest, that if they were on another team, they'd be scoring 20 points a game and playing 38 minutes a night. And how do you get guys to sacrifice and to be in a position where they will suppress their egos for that? I think it took Brad a little while to find that, but I think he's found it now.
All right, I see some of you guys still hanging here. You want to talk Celtics. Just because we're wrapping up the Sports Hub Celtics show doesn't mean the conversation has to end. So here's what's going to happen. Sean Silver's going to get you caught up with the Sports Hub headlines, and then we'll come right back. We'll play the Gaspar Murray intro, and we'll go right to your Celtics calls. How about that? We got two open lines you want to join us. 617-779-0985. Gaspar Murray, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150 win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.